On today's episode, we are talking about how to create a connection and a relationship with your audience and how to turn them into loyal customers. This is both a solo session and an interview with Peter Scheidman. Episode 29. Let's do it. Welcome to the Money Diver Podcast. I am Borja Bezzo, and every week I bring you step-by-step actionable online marketing strategies that you can implement in your business to see the results fast. So let's the diving begin. Hello, hello, what's up, amigos? Welcome back to another episode of the Money Diver Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with me. I know there's a lot of podcasts that you could be listening to right now, while you're driving, while you're jogging, while you're in your room, or whatever you are listening to your show, and I thank you for choosing mine. I want to invite you to leave a review on iTunes for my show. It really, really helps me. I'm proud of the reviews that I have gotten so far. I really appreciate the people that cares about the show and lets me know what they think, leave some feedback. Otherwise, I'm just, running in the dark. So your thoughts are very important for me. Now, today I have a different episode. I'm going to talk a little about my strategy on how to create a deeper connection with my listeners, with my followers, with my customers, how to create a bond with them, how to make them really know who I am and what my personality is like and what I am all about. And then later on the episode, I'm going to jump into an interview with Peter Scheidman, and we're going to talk about customer loyalty, which is a very, very important thing for anyone doing business online, because there's so much competition in any industry that one of the best ways that you can stand out is by giving better support to your customers, creating a stronger bond with them. And that's why I wanted to do sort of a solo session before the interview to tell you how I create that connection with my potential customers, with my followers, with my listeners, my blog readers, and everyone else using social media and email, my podcast, and how I know which goals I want people to take, and what steps of the funnel they should follow in order to grow in this sort of and go up in this sort of relationship ladder. That's how I call it. From the moment they first see my name, they first hear from me, until the moment they get to trust me and like my content, like my blog posts, podcast episodes, etc. And it's always important that whatever it is that you're doing, I have said this so many times, and so many people, so many marketers say this a lot of times, every time, because it really is the most important thing that you have to consider. And that is thinking about your audience. Always, every time that you are going to write content, that you are going to create content, that you're going to create a strategy for communicating with people, whatever that is, you have to think about your listener first, your audience. What is it that they really want to hear from you? Not whatever you think it's best for them, or whatever you think is going to benefit your business at that time, but whatever is going to benefit them. And that's ultimately going to drive value for your business. Value drives value. Always remember that. Money is a byproduct of how well you serve your audience, your listeners, your tribe. The reason I'm saying this is because once you understand what your customers want to hear from you, you know what you're going to say, and you can analyze and you can clearly see what the goals of your communication strategy is going to be. What I mean by communication strategy is all your marketing funnel, so to speak, this relationship ladder. And you said the different goals that that you want people to take through this funnel. My first goal, personally, is to get people to sign up for my email list. And I do that in several ways. I do that mentioning it here on the podcast. I do that from my blog post. Whenever you go to moneydiver.com, you'll see that I mainly focus on getting people to subscribe to my email list where I can introduce myself and, you know, let my personality shine and get people to know who I am. Who is Borja Beso, this accent guy, this Spanish guy who blogs about marketing, and he's young, he likes extreme sports, he rides motorcycles, he's passionate about marketing, very geeky about website personalization and segmentation, email segmentation, audience research, all the things that I like. I make sure that people know what they are through my email, because email is the best way for communicating with people. What if you lose your Twitter account tomorrow? Or what if your blog goes down or something like that? You still have your readers and your listeners' emails. And that is very powerful, very important. Never forget that. So I make sure that people send up to my list first, that they subscribe to the to my email marketing software, which is AWeber. Once I have them on my list, I create a sequence of emails where I introduce myself, like I said. I let them know what they're going to get from Money Diver, from being a member, from being, subscribers, and what they can expect from me in their inbox, because you also have to let people know that you are going to respect their privacy. People are very, very cautious with who they grant their information to. So the fact that they're giving you their personal contact information, their email, you have to respect that. You have to value that. That is extremely, extremely important. Otherwise, you can break the whole relationship building process. After they sign up to my email list, and after I create a bond through an autoresponder sequence, on each of these emails, I invite them to join my new mastermind group on Facebook. The reason I do that is because if you email people every single day, that can be very invasive, and you can be labeled as a spammer very quickly. But through Facebook, it's different. People are there to see content, to connect with other people. So if you create a Facebook group and you get people to join your group, you can then talk, you know, engage in conversations every day. And people won't really mind that you do that. And whenever you send out or you create a new post in your Facebook group, people will get a notification on their Facebook account that a new post is up, and they can go and check it out. They'll see your name again. They'll see more information from you. They'll be able to respond, connect with you, ask questions. You can answer to their questions, create more value, a better relationship. You can go and check out. No, it's not that you can. You should go and check out their profiles, see what they are about, because if they have given you their time, you should at least go and check out what it is that they do, where they work, where they live, so you can personalize your conversation with them. You can say, hey, I noticed that you work at a bakery shop, that you own a bakery shop. I have these tips for you about bakery, etc. And create, you know, tailored messages so that people feel unique. They're not there to get spammed by your blog posts. There's a lot of things that go into managing a Facebook group, and this is not about Facebook groups specifically. We can go into that in a later episode or a blog post. Or we can have a guest speak about that. There's a ton of people that I love how they manage their Facebook groups as well. But yeah, just keep in mind that it's not a place to spam your group members with your blog post. It's just a place to deepen that relationship. Now, after people subscribe to my Facebook group, I know I have them on my email list, because that's the first thing that I want them to do, and they did. Now I have them on my Facebook group. Now what I do is I export all of my email list into an Excel CSV document, and I import that email list into Facebook custom audiences. This is a feature that the Facebook Ads platform gives you, where you can target your custom audiences, these email subscribers, and send them specific advertisements. So after they I upload and I create this custom audience that is based on my subscribers, I create a video, an introductory video, that strengthens what Money Diver is about, what the whole community is about. And only these subscribers are going to see it, which is very, very, very cheap. Facebook won't really charge you a lot. It's like 1 cent per view. And all that you're doing is showing your face and showing your voice, showing your personality, and deepening that connection. Because now they saw you on your blog, they saw you, they read you on your email list, they probably joined your Facebook group. And if they didn't, you can still invite them to join your Facebook group from this video that you're targeting, you know, to them specifically. And I really recommend that you do a video, not just an image ad, like a typical image ad. Because video, for two main reasons. Number one, like I just said, you get to connect with people by showing your face and your personality and your voice. And number two, it's cheaper than regular Facebook ads with images. Now, after I deliver this video ad to my email subscribers, I then retarget them. I show another video ad, but only to those who saw the previous video, because now there's a very deep bond created with that with those people. And this video is a how-to video, how to create a blog video, because that's what Money Diver is about. If you have, I don't know, a bakery, again, sorry that I'm stuck with this bakery example, but if you have a bakery, you can maybe make a tutorial on how to create a homemade bread. But like I said, mine is about how to create a blog using audience segmentation strategies in 6 minutes or less. And that video is the first time that people who have chosen to join my community get a chance to contribute back to Money Diver, because it has an affiliate link to a hosting provider, to HostGator, and I get a commission if they choose to purchase from HostGator. I make sure to mention this. Make sure that you tell people that you are sending them through an affiliate link, that you are getting a commission at no cost to them if it is an affiliate thing that you're doing. Tell them that at no cost to them, you'll get a commission, and you thank them for that. That's what keeps your business going, because that is what you have. It's a business. By now, you have created a very strong bond with your listener, with that member of your community. He joined your email list. He read your mails. He clicked through your email list and joined your Facebook group. He possibly commented on your threads, on your Facebook group threads, on your mastermind. He then saw a video from you, the video that you were targeting them through Facebook ads and custom audiences, and then they see your video. It's a tutorial on how to create a blog. Well, in my case, it is a tutorial on how to create a blog. You're still providing value, and at the end, it just happens that if people want to create a blog, they need hosting, and hosting companies have affiliate programs. I joined that program, I let people know that I will get a commission, and I thank them if they choose to click on my link. By this time, about 2 weeks have gone by since the very first time they saw my face and they visited my blog at moneydiver.com or any of my sign-up pages or landing pages. And from this point forward, I can continue to grow my relationship with these people and keep guiding them through my funnel of goals. Maybe my next goal can be to invite them to join and follow me on Twitter and maybe join a Twitter list. Well, that's not up to them, but I can make them join a Twitter list if I see they're interested in a specific topic about online marketing. I can send my weekly podcast episodes to them. I do not send my podcast episodes to people who have joined my list earlier than a week ago. I started to do that recently, actually, because if I'm sending them a series of emails that are inviting them to my Facebook group, it's very invasive to send too many emails, you know, so I don't want to send my broadcast email the same day they're getting an invitation to join a Facebook group. So it's about, you know, again, respecting their privacy and their inbox. Now, after I see that people click through that link, that affiliate link located on my Facebook video ad, I know that there's a very good chance that they became customers of HostGator. They created their blog, and I can put them on a separate list and provide them with information about what to do next. Probably get a WordPress theme, and a lot of you know that I have a WordPress theme business, so I can introduce them to my WordPress themes. I don't push this business really hard or really early on my relationship building process, because it just doesn't make sense. I want to be sure that the people that are going to get introduced to my business, my WordPress theme business, already have a blog. And this way I can, in fact, know that. So I introduce them to this business, and I can continue to send them information and grow, you know, their knowledge about online marketing, grow my relationship with them, and keep them interested in the whole Money Diver community. And at this point, you are dealing with actual customers. It's not just your audience. And that's why I wanted to bring Peter Shankman from Shankman.com today on the show and interview him about how he makes sure that your customers become loyal to you and how you can stand out from your competition by taking care of your customers. So without any further ado, I want to jump into this interview and teach you how to do that. The New York Times has called him a public relations all-star who knows everything about new media and then some. It is my pleasure to have with me Peter Shankman. So Peter, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes. Great to have you. So and before we get into the meat of the actual meat of the content of this interview, I want to ask you about something that I and a lot of my listeners struggle with, and I know you struggle with that as well, and that's about ADD. I was diagnosed when I was a child, and it is my main obstacle as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, definitely. And then I know a lot of the marketers, and some of them are entrepreneurs as well. They also struggle with it. And how do you deal with it? And how do you keep it from affecting your business?
Well, you know, for me, I use it as a benefit, not so much as a bad thing. I mean, I know myself, and I know sort of what works for me and what's good and what's bad. And I'm able to learn from that. So for me, you know, my ADHD is really more of I call it a superpower.
Superpower. You
know? Yeah, I can use it for instance, when I'm, you know, I work best in certain situations. So I know if I have a lot of work to do, I'll put myself in an airplane.
Okay.
Right? And I'll make sure that, you know, I have time to work or do whatever it is I need to do, you know, based on my life. So for me, it's really about knowing the best way things work, and you know, knowing that my brain works a certain way, and being able to create that way is better for me. You know, so at the end of the day, you need to understand what works for you and to do it that way.
Definitely. For me, for example, I know that working in the mornings, it helps a lot. And when it comes noontime and I have to get up from my desk, for some reason, getting up from my desk and going to do whatever it is that I have to do, having lunch or whatever, it completely kills my concentration. And when I get back at 2 o'clock, I'm, you know, all over the place. I can't focus like it was
exactly.
In the morning.
Yeah. So you need to know yourself, and you know, by learning yourself, you do things the right way.
Well, for me, meditation works. I'm not the best at it, but it's worked lately because I train my brain to stay focused on one path until I complete it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that's one of the things that I try doing. I recommend people, you know, experiment with it and play with it. It's hard. I mean, it's not easy because, you know, you have to really see the only thing that you have to be focused on. But it exactly. Definitely works. And you mentioned you do airplanes help for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I get most of my work done.
Yeah, as long as it's not internet related, I guess.
Well, yeah, but you know, for me, it's mostly writing.
Yeah, like blog posts and books.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, how many words are you able to pull off in an airplane in a couple of hours? Do you have?
I've written an entire book on a flight to Tokyo and back.
An entire? Are you serious? Oh my
yeah.
God!
Yeah.
A lot of coffee in the plane?
No, just, you know, that's where I do my best work, I guess.
Oh, that's amazing, for sure. Congratulations. Yeah. So, okay. Before we get into this question, I want to thank you for Harrow, okay? Because it's brought me a lot of business on the past couple of years. Help a reporter, I'm talking about that for anyone that doesn't know. I want to ask you, what triggered, what situation in life or what moment in life or what idea triggered your decision for becoming an entrepreneur and founding Harrow?
For me, Harrow was about finding a way to help people. I've always liked to help people, and this was an easy way to do it, to be able to help a reporter, to get them information they needed when they needed it, and also help some friends who were the journalists. So, you know, for me, I just did it as a favor. I didn't plan on turning it into a big thing that made a lot of money or anything like that. That sort of grew naturally. So it was kind of exciting.
Yeah, and for people that doesn't know, it's a website where you can go and you can contact with, you can help reporters out, and maybe you get some value out of it if you're into SEO. Maybe you get some links or you know, there's a lot of ways to build connections with reporters, which is, you know, there's are very powerful people when it comes to media, for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, for me, it was, like I said, it was a way to help some people out. It turned into a very beneficial thing.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me a little about Zombie Loyalist, your book.
So Zombie Loyalist, the basic principle behind Zombie Loyalist is that we, as customers, we expect to be treated poorly, right? Whenever we have a situation where we're a customer, we don't expect to be treated well, we expect to be treated poorly. And so if we can figure out a way to treat our customers well, to get them to basically just treat them one level above bad.
Yes.
Then chances are they're going to come back to us and they are going to tell their friends about how great we are. And that's the beauty of it, to be able to create these moments of happiness that we don't expect, because we expect most experiences to be bad. So if we could just treat a little bit better than bad, we're doing really well.
It's a huge opportunity for competitive advantage. That's what I'm seeing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the case of being able to do things just a little bit better than what people expect. And if you can do that, it's a lot easier to win their trust, to win their loyalty forever.
Maybe you can look at your main competitors and just go one step above them and take advantage of that as well.
Exactly. You know, it's not, for me, it's not so much about, being awesome, but rather just being a little bit better than what people expect.
Being a little bit better than what people expect. Yeah, I dig that. I encounter a lot of awful situations, awful, you know, moments with terrible customer support representatives and terrible customers. You know, I hate it. I mean, it feels like you're talking to a robot with a script.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, that's what happens. So if you can do it in a way that's not like that, if you can just be a human being, that's really all people want.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, so what I want to do is I want to get into the shoes of our listeners right now who are thinking about, okay, how can I go about creating a strategy where I can ensure that my customers become very loyal and I get some zombie loyalists. How do we go about creating that? How do you define a loyal customer?
For me, a loyal customer is really someone who you know, there are two types. Well, there's loyal. A loyal customer is someone who comes back every once in a while and uses you. Then there's a zombie loyalist. A zombie loyalist is someone who not only comes back and uses you all the time, but goes out of their way to make sure they're using you and then tells the world about how great you are. That's really the key. If you can create a zombie loyalist, they'll do your PR for you. They will go out and tell people how awesome you are. And that's a lot less work that you have to do to promote your company because they're doing it for you. And we trust, we trust people to tell us how great companies are more than we trust the companies themselves. Right? We trust our friends to tell us how well we are, how good we're doing. We trust our friends better than more than we trust the advertisement. You know, no one believes an advertisement, right? No one believes how great you are if you're the one that has to tell them.
Yeah.
But we definitely believe our friends who say, "Oh my God, this place is amazing. You have to go here."
So it's sort of about creating ambassadors.
Exactly. But again, you're doing it just by being a little bit better than normal, a little bit better than what people expect.
And how do you go about, you know, empowering these, you know, customers to become ambassadors?
It's not hard. A lot of times it's as simple as just doing a little something out of the ordinary. You know, if we expect to be... if we expect our flight to be late, right, and we expect to sit in the back of the plane and we don't expect to get a smile from the gate agent, then it's as simple as smiling for the gate agent, giving, you know, a simple smile, a simple act of kindness that costs nothing but is very easy to do.
It's very easy to do, yeah. But I guess you have to prepare your company. Sort of create a corporate culture for this.
Well, you do. It has to start from the corporation. It has to be about a company wanting to change.
And how do you prepare your company to be on the same note as you are?
I think the number one way to do it is simply to tell the customers. Or tell the employees, rather, that, you know, being nice, being a little bit better than normal actually generates a lot of revenue. And that if a company can be just a little bit nicer than normal, there's a lot of money being made. And I think that they'll, you know, that's how you get the CEOs involved. That's how you get the people to understand that it works, you know, the people in charge. And then from there, it can filter down to the masses.
Yeah. And in regards to you know, what we were talking about of doing it one step above what, you know, one step better than what our customers are expecting. I love a quote from your book, which is the general expectation of any given customer is in any given service situation is that they'll be treated like crap and will leave neutral at best, unhappy exactly. At worst.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is just be a little bit better than crap. You know, I'm not asking you to be awesome. I'm just asking you to be a little bit better than crap.
Okay, and what are some other tips that people and companies can take away to make customers amazed, make them be amazed by your service?
Well, it's incredible how a simple act of a simple smile can generate so much happiness and so much movement. A simple smile, you know, there's a lot more you can do as well, but just starting off, a simple smile can really change people's opinions, because if they expect, you know, if they expect the usual, oh, you know, what you want, what's your order, what you next, or, but, you know, they can, hey, how's it going, how can I help you, all of a sudden, they're immediately put into a better mood, like, instantaneously, and it's so simple to do.
Do you have any actionable takeaways for empowering customers to become ambassadors? I know I asked you this a little earlier, but I want to know something like maybe giveaways or sort of an affiliate program or anything like that.
For me, it's really about, you know, reaching out to those customers who are there, who come over and say, you know, hey, how are you? What are you working on? What can I help you do? How can I make your day better? They'll know to come. They will come back to you. They will come back to you if they see the the benefit in doing so, and they will tell friends.
And if you lose a customer, how do you bring them back? Do you have any tips for that?
If you lose a customer, the best thing you can do is simply apologize. You know, we lost it. Sorry, we don't want to lose you. Let's see how we can fix this. That's the number one way to do it. Being able to fix the problem. Again, people don't necessarily expect that. So being able to fix the problem right away is a good start.
Yeah, one thing that I do to avoid losing, you know, to avoid my customers leaving after I do, I have a 30-day trial on my product. And what I do is before the 30 days end, I give a tease of something extra that they're going to get after the 30 days. And I sort of create a communication sequence using email marketing and social media to tease my, you know, these customers that are approaching the 30-day, you know, mark, that there's, you know, they're going to get something extra, an extra course or an extra whatever it is after the 30 days expired. Obviously, I don't say after your 30-day guarantee, because right. That's, yeah, you just say that, hey, in a couple of days, I'm releasing this for the members of the course, etc. And it has greatly reduced the amount of people that leaves my courses and my programs. And I really recommend people trying this out if they have money backs trials, 60 days, 90 days, 30 days, whatever it is. So what is one single tip, if you have to give one tip for people to create an army of loyal customers, what would it be?
I think the number one tip I'd give you is again, just be a little bit better than what people expect. And that's really not hard to do because most people don't expect anything. Just be a little bit better.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty funny to read Zombie Loyalist because a couple of weeks ago, I started watching the whole Walking Dead series, the TV series, and it's really awkward to see zombie and loyalist in the same sentence, for sure, after watching that.
Yeah, definitely.
That series. So how do you maintain your loyal followers to keep them, you know, sort of going up in the company and keep coming back and keep building more with them?
I think for me, I ask my customers what they like. I ask what they're doing. I ask how I can help them. I try to give them ways to understand that I'm not just a machine, that I actually do care about them. And once you do that, it becomes a lot easier because all of a sudden they want to listen to you. They want to hear what you're saying. And they see you more as a human being and less as a corporation.
And who is your ideal customer, Peter?
I think for me, my ideal customer is someone who, you know, a lot of what I sell is content, right? So my ideal customer is a business, a small business, someone's willing to listen, who wants to understand what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, who might be able to get some beneficial advice, and who wants to grow.
Great definition, for sure. I mean, it's very important to know exactly who it is that you're going to be talking to, who it is that you're going to be targeting, and who it is that you want and don't want in your company. Because I think it's also important to filter out the people that are not ideal customers for you, because in the end, they're just going to be another obstacle, another pain for your company.
Exactly.
So it's good to have filters.
Yep, no question about it.
Yep. So, Peter, once again, man, thank you so much for being here. Anywhere where we can send people to connect with you?
Yeah, my entire world is at shankman.com, and I'm at Peter Shankman on all of the socials.
All right. Well, thank you, man. Thank you so much for coming, and I hope to have you again in the future.
My pleasure. Happy to do it.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. That was a mix of sort of a solo session where I showed you my own strategy before I turned my audience into customers, and how Peter Shankman thinks you should deal with customers to turn them into loyal customers and stand out from your competition. I hope you took a lot of notes, because everything in this episode is very actionable. And if you are driving, make sure that you get home, you get a notebook, and you write the notes down. I really wanted to show you how a relationship building process looks like, how you turn first-time visitors into an audience that trust you, that likes you, and then turn them into customers, and then show you how Peter Shankman thinks that you should turn them into loyal customers. So once again, guys, go out, meet people, turn them into loyal customers, and as always, keep them there.